It's so good to see all your faces, praise the Lord, and not just preach to empty seats. I've been preaching to empty seats for the last 3 months, praise God. But we're blessed, amen, we're blessed. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. We're in the middle of a series, and so if you have not been following along, shame on you, first of all. We won't call you out, we won't make you tell on yourself, but we're in a series, and I do encourage you, if you have not been following along, to get on the live stream, to get on the archives, because we're in a series titled, The Leading of God, and it will change your life, praise God, and so we're going to continue with that. This may be the conclusion. This is where I know I'm supposed to go tonight, so we will believe God for utterance and get everything that He has for us tonight. Praise God. Well, let's pray first. Father, thank you again, Lord, that we could be here together. Father, this is the way you intended it. You said to not forsake this. Father, there's something special here. There's something that happens when we get together. Father, we see the value in the word of the corporate anointing, of coming together, of impartations, of face-to-face experiences, face-to-face relationships here in church, Father, things that we can't get over a computer screen, over a TV screen. And so, Father, thank you for opening it back up to us. And Lord, we thank you we're going into our best days yet. We say that the church is heading into its best days yet. Personally, we're headed into our best days yet. And Father, we know that it centers and it's surrounded centered around your word. Without your word, that won't happen. And so, Father, help us to say what needs to be said tonight, to do what needs to be done. Father, speak through me, Lord, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, we are here to hear from heaven, not man's plans, man's ideas, man's thoughts, man's philosophies. We want heaven tonight. So, Father, we thank you. You'll make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. I'll say what needs to be said in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I love seeing the little kids, you know. I commend you, parents. It'd be a temptation just to stay home and watch my live stream. But you know what? This is what they did in the old days. They just all got together, and we're just going to do it. Praise God. And we're all going to get something. And so thank you for coming out. Don't give in to that temptation of just convenience to just stay home. Hallelujah. God has something for us. But in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, this was kind of the golden text, I guess you would say, for this series. And some of my favorite verses because of what it tells us. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And I love those verses because God is inviting us to acknowledge him in every single area of our life. Amen. He's not disinterested in you. He's very interested in you. In fact, you're the apple of his eye, praise God. You were worthy of his son, praise God. You were worthy of that sacrifice to him. And he is saying to you, he's saying, come unto me in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. Well, there's a lot of different ways and things people experience in life. People go through financial tests and trials. They go through physical tests and trials. They go through relationship issues, different circumstances, different things with their children. There's a lot of things or issues or ways that come up in our lives. And God says, I want to be a part of all of them. Notice he didn't pick and choose. He said, no, I want to be a part of your whole life. You know, I have Caleb and Abby. They're my children. Caleb's 10, Abby's 7. And there's not one area of their life I'm not interested in. There's not one area of their life I want them to succeed in one and maybe miss out on the other. No, I want them blessed in all areas of their lives. Well, we're the Father's children. He cares about us. Praise God. And so we're excited about these verses. And we talked about in the beginning when it says he will direct your paths. That's a big word, that word he. When he says, I will direct your paths, what's that talking about? It's talking about the one that knows everything. The Bible says he's all-knowing. There's nothing that slips his mind. There's nothing that catches him off guard. He's already been to our future and back, right? He's all-knowledgeable. He's the most wisdom there is. Praise God. He is the epitome of wisdom. And so we know that about him. But not only that, he's a God that's gone to the future. He knows what's coming. He knows what's around the corner, things that we don't know. But also, more than that, having his infinite wisdom, his infinite knowledge, he has told us in his word, he says, I love you. Praise God. He says, I'm for you. I want to bless you. I'm here for you. I gave you my son. And so here we have an all-knowing God who's full of wisdom, full of knowledge, knows everything, and he loves us and wants to bless us. So that's the God that's saying, acknowledge me in all your ways. Now, when you think about what does that mean, it means this, that he knows every area of your life how to make it better. He knows the issues with your children. He knows the issues in your business. He knows the issues in your body. He knows the issues in your mind and different things. He knows how to fix them all. And he's saying, I know everything. He's not arrogant about that, but he's saying, I know everything. I know what to do. I know what's coming. Bring it to me. I'll direct your paths. And when my children come to me, I don't direct their paths into bad things. I don't direct their paths into hurtful things. Praise God, I direct their paths into good things. And so we're learning, how does God do it? Well, Romans 8:14, we're not going to do too much review because we don't have time, but Romans 8:14 will tell us how God leads, how God guides, because God's doing it different in the New Testament than he was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he led a certain way, but in the New Testament, people need to learn how God's doing it. You know, so many people are just not skillful with his word. We come from a religious background, or what somebody has told us, that God's just going to do what God wants to do, and if it works out for you, well, he looked at you and shined his happy face upon you. But no, we see we have a part to play in God's word. And so many Christians, I'm talking Christians now, what's a Christian? A child of God, have no idea how to follow him. I know Christians that have struggled with poverty for decades. I know Christians that have struggled with sickness for decades. I know Christians that have struggled in depression, in fear, in confusion for years and years. Now, what is that? That's God's children. Is God liking them in depression? Is God liking them in their place of poverty? No. God wants to direct their paths out of those things. Amen? Amen? But how does he do it? That's where people miss it. That's where people trip up. I've known people within these churches that have taken series like this to heart, done what the word says, and their whole world changed. Amen. Yeah, it's true. Well, he says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led, remember he says, I want to guide and direct you. For as many as are led by their mind. No. For as many as are led by emotions. For as many as are led by money. For as many as are led by feelings. No. So many Christians are led by the calculator, by their paychecks, by the weather, by how they feel that day, by opinions, by books and different things. That's not how God's leading. By goosebumps and tears and emotions and, you know, get stirred up emotionally, and it's God. No, that's not how he's leading. Yeah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What's he talking about? Led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, the Holy Ghost isn't welcome in a whole lot of churches nowadays. I mean, you talk about being led by the Holy Ghost, they'll look at you backwards. As like one minister said, like a cow at a new gate. Shock. What are you talking about, this Holy Ghost business? You know, people think if it feels good, that must be God. People think, well, if it looks good, it must be God. Or if it doesn't look like it's very good, if it looks like it could be tough, that can't be him. And it's like they're just playing lottery with their life. He says, I lead by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, by my Spirit, praise the Lord. And so we've been talking about that. Well, how does God do that? Romans 8:16 tells us. We looked at this last week. I do encourage you to listen to these services. It says the Spirit should be himself. Spirit's not an it. The Spirit himself beareth witness or testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. So how does God lead? It says in verse 14, I lead by the Spirit. But how does he do it? Verse 16 tells us. The Holy Ghost testifies or bears witness to our spirit. You're a spirit being. The Holy Spirit's talking to your spirit, praise God. Well, in Proverbs 20 and verse 27, you can't talk about this series without looking at these scriptures almost every time. But Proverbs 20 and verse 27, it says this. Now remember what the Bible says. The Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Well, over there in John 16, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost hears from heaven and then declares unto you what he's heard. Well, what's that declaring unto you? It's him bearing witness with your spirit. The Holy Spirit's not talking to your ears. The Holy Spirit's not talking to your emotions. The Holy Spirit's not talking to your flesh and your mind. The Holy Ghost bears witness with your spirit. Well, where's your spirit located? It says in 27, the spirit of man. Well, what's that spirit of man? Exactly what the Holy Spirit is testifying to. Is the candle of the Lord. That's how God leads. It says, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the spirit of man, the Holy Ghost, the spirit of man resides in the center of man or in the belly region of a man. So God's not talking to your head. God's not talking to your ears. He's not talking to your flesh. And we better get used to learning how to follow the Holy Ghost. So many people are making decisions based on what this feels like, based on what this thinks up here, based on what it looks like on paper, based on opinions of man. No, that's not how God's doing it. We have an opportunity to be led absolutely skillful, like a skillful sniper, and hit the bullseye in everything we do. He said, if you'll acknowledge me in all your ways. You know what he's basically saying there? You have an opportunity to never miss it again. You have an opportunity to never wander off the path again. You have an opportunity to fix every wrong that's messed up, everything that's out of order, that doesn't look like what I have for you. If you'll acknowledge me, I'll direct your paths. But you got to know how he's doing it. You got to learn how he's doing it, praise God. That's why we're talking about the leading of God, because the leading of God is by the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit. And again, the first three sermons of this series, we talked about this more, but where I was led to go to tonight is Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 48, 17 is where we'll go. He's faithful. And we're going to get everything that he has for us. Praise God. Isaiah 48, 17. Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth you to what? Profit. Do you know what profit means? Profit means to increase. Yeah. Amen. Now, but look, he says, which leadeth you by the way that you should go. So he's saying, I'll teach you, or I'll lead you how to profit, how to increase. Amen? That's what God is saying in this verse. He says, I will teach you. I will lead you into increase. Praise God. Well, with that being said, how is God guiding and how is God leading? By the Holy Ghost. Real quick, Proverbs 10:22 pretty much says the same thing, just in different words. You know, it's the meaning and the heart of what he's saying here is the same. But Proverbs 10:22, so God tells us right off the bat, I want to teach you to prosper. I want to teach you to increase. Hallelujah. It's one facet of being led by the Holy Ghost. And you can't leave it out, especially when he tells you to preach on it. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrows. What's he saying? When God's blessing is upon something, it leads to richness. Now that word rich, it trips people up. But you got to know what that word rich means before we go further. The word rich in the Bible is not talking about Bill Gates type wealth. It's not talking about, you know, that way if people aren't walking in Bill Gates type wealth, they must therefore be out of the will of God. No, that's not God's richness. You know, that's maybe got misconstrued over the years. It's not President Trump type wealth in his riches. Rich in the Bible means abundantly supplied. More than enough, right? Hallelujah. That's what rich in the Bible means. And the Bible says, remember, God says, I'll teach you to profit. Well, the blessing of the Lord, when God's on it, it only leads to increase. Now, I want to tell you something that it goes along with this. Again, any revelation anyone ever has, if it doesn't line up with the Word, you throw it out. I don't care if they told you Jesus stepped in the room. Well, what did Jesus say when he stepped in your room? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I've heard some doozies, man. I said, that can't be God because God doesn't violate his word. I've had people tell me the Holy Spirit told me this. Well, the Holy Spirit did not tell you that if it violates the Bible. The Holy Spirit and the Word are one, praise God. And I've had some people tell me some doozies at times. I mean, I see it all over in the body of Christ. I don't mean to get off on a soapbox here. I see it all over the body of Christ, people doing things, coming up with ideas. And you say, I never saw Jesus do that. And it's funny how it can get twisted a little bit. The devil's, you know, he doesn't just drop in on you and start telling you things that you won't believe. He gives you lies that are mixed with a little bit of truth. So you'll take the bait, right? And it's the same thing. I see people all the time doing things that got off. You know, you only get, you start, chart a course from here to California from Buffalo Airport. And you're only one degree, I've talked to pilots about this, you're only one degree off. Yeah. By the time you get to how far you should have been to California, you're not going to be at your destination. Just one degree off, and you just kept going and going and going. And I see that all the time in the body of Christ. People saying things, well, follow the Word of God, amen? Amen. I look at somebody says, Jesus never did. I said, I never heard Brother Hagin teach that. Yeah. I never heard Brother Hagin, some of the crazy things people do and some of the crazy things people come up with money and things like fasting and things. I mean, all sorts of, and I'm like, oh, wait, Pastor Nancy never said a word about that. Yeah. Never should preach that. Amen. I just wonder sometimes about what people, but the Word keeps us safe is what I'm trying to say. So what I'm saying is when Brother Hagin said this, if it doesn't line up with the Word, you throw it out. But he said the Lord told him this when one of the times in many visions that he had, and visions, of course, are biblical. The Lord told him, if you'll learn to follow my Spirit, I'll make you rich. Well, again, what's rich? Abundantly supplied. Right. Well, does that go along with the Word? Well, he said in Isaiah 48:17, I'll teach you how to profit. Amen. I'll teach you how to increase. Right. Well, Brother Hagin said, the Lord told him, if you follow my Spirit, well, that's how God's leading, by the Holy Ghost. Blessing of the Lord makes rich. Amen. And then I thought this was interesting. It needs to be thrown out there. He said, I'm not against my people having things. Yeah. Amen. He says, what I am against is my people being covetous. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, God. That's when God has the problem, praise God. But anyways, the rich definition is a full supply. But I want to talk to you tonight, in the time we have left, is that God desires. Remember he said, in all your ways acknowledge me and I'll direct your paths. Well, wouldn't all your ways be your business? Be your job? Be your money, your finances, your needs? He says, in all my ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. God desires, ladies and gentlemen, to lead you into increase.
Right. Amen.
Amen? God desires to lead you into increase. When he says, I'll teach you to profit, he didn't say, I'll teach you to be poor.
No, that's right.
He didn't say, I'll teach you or lead you into lack. Yeah. In fact, doesn't the Bible say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Isn't that what the Bible says? He says, because he's my shepherd, I don't have to worry about lacking. I tell you, why am I stopping on this? Because the body of Christ Christians preach the poverty gospel. And they get behind it and it's like they're proud of it or something. And the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, when God's blessing, it doesn't lead to poverty. It doesn't lead to lack. It doesn't lead to less. It leads to rich. Abundantly supplied. In fact, Jesus in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says that though you know the grace that was on your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, could be rich. What's rich? Abundantly supplied. But there is people in the body of Christ, no, it's better to be poor. Wait a minute. Then you don't have the blessing of the Lord on your life because the blessing of the Lord leads to rich. Leads to increase. Philippians 4:19 does not sound like poverty.
No, it doesn't. No.
And I will not meet all your needs, so you can struggle therefore. No, he says, I'll supply all your needs. And if you're not living that and experiencing that, God wants to lead you out of that into that. Praise God. Go to Psalms 35 and verse 27. God desires to lead you into increase. But you got to know how he does it. Psalms 35 and verse 27. This will change your world. Look at this. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Now notice this, which has pleasure. 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 What's that mean? Good. Which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Amen. Where does it say that God's excited about you being poor? Yeah. Where does it say that God's okay with you not having enough? Where does it say that God's okay with him? I'm happy that you're struggling. No, he says, I'll meet your needs. God desires to lead you in increase. You know, I don't have time to look at all these, but I just want to go over a couple stories here. We'll look at a couple of them, then I want to tell you something that was on my heart to share with you when meditating about this. But you remember Job? To me, Job is a picture of, it takes the veil off. What's God think about this increase stuff? Because if you study Job, he was the wealthiest man of that time in that area. He was the Bill Gates of those days. He was. He was loaded, you know. When you go and you look at all the cattle and land and everything he had, he was wealthy. But we know what? In Job chapter 1, if you read down through verse 6 around there, we see Satan came. And Satan went from the presence of the Lord and what? Wreaked havoc on Job, didn't he? Absolutely wreaked havoc on Job's life and took everything from Job. Well, if you jump back to over to Job 42, what does the Bible say about Job? It says that the Lord, now here again, we're talking about the wealthiest, most supplied man on planet Earth, is brought to nothing. Yeah. Now, God, he needs God's help. Yeah. God then looks upon his situation, and if God's against increase, if God's against abundance, well, then God certainly is not going to bring Job back to where he was, because where he was the wealthiest in the world. But what did God do? God didn't bring Job back to where he was, did he? He jumped where he was and went to double. The Bible says the Lord gave Job double. Well, who gave Job double? The Lord did. If God's against increase and your needs being met and heaven abundantly supplied, why in the world did he double a man who already had everything? Because your God's not a God of poorness. Amen. Now go with me to 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. Praise the Lord. Now I want to get a judge here, because we're getting into the warmer months, and I know we're going to have a million different opinions, but it's hard for me to tell up here, because I'm up here hopping around, you know, and screaming. I get warmer, but who in here right now would say, I am hot? Just a few hands. Oh, no. Who says it's just right in here? Oh, we got more just writers. Oh, man. That means I'm going to know the temperature in my head to keep it at now. Oh, geez. Sorry for you hot ones out there. Praise the Lord. Feel bad for you. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. Now, the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her. He said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God lives, I don't have a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it or make it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. What's she in? A hurting situation. I mean, she is eating at the table of poverty. Right where Job was, in a place of nowhere. She needs help. Amen? She needs help. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as you said, but make me a cake thereof first. And bring it unto me, and after make one for you and your son. Now you say, man, that sounds like a rude minister. She just got done telling him, I got one meal left for me and my son, and now the minister's asking for that meal? What in the world? I mean, they would have put him all over the news, all over Facebook, and said, that greedy minister. But why did why did Elijah tell her that? Because that's what God said to do. God said, go to the city of Zarephath. There's a widow woman there. She has your provision. Well, Elijah knows going, he's got to obey God, but he knows if I can get her to obey God, it'll bless her too. So when she spouts off, I only have this much left, and he says, give it to me. He's not doing that to be selfish. He's doing that to obey God, number one, but to get her into something. When your pastor stands up here till he's blue in the face shouting to give tithes and offerings, it's not for you to decrease, it's so you increase. Yeah. It would have been easy for him to say, oh, you have one meal left? Well, what the heck, Lord? And left her, you know, but no. He obeyed God. He said, don't be afraid. He said, go and do as you said, but make me one first. Why? God told me you're going to have my supply. And you know what else Elijah knew about God? Oh, if people get this revelation. God's not asking for her last meal. God's got other things in mind. When God asks for something, he's not asking to make her starve to death. It's like I had a couple sit across from me at South Dayton one time, just struggling financially. Won't listen to a word I tell them, won't listen to the Bible. And they said, "How if we tithe and give offerings, we're not going to be able to feed our kids." They're trying to, you should see in the corner, there was a little violin. Pim was playing a violin, and I was like, and I'm thinking, man, that must have been what Elijah felt like when the woman said, I have one meal left, and you want it? But see, what those people didn't have a revelation of is, God's not asking for your tithe so your kids will starve to death. He says, bring the tithe so I can open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. That's what he says. But so many people, now they just don't follow him. You know, they follow their emotions, follow the calculator, follow. They have a wrong idea. But he says, bring it to me first. In verse 13, and after, then you make one for you and for your son. Oh, I love it. But look at verse 14. For thus saith what I think as a man. No. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So whose doing was this? It was God's leading, God's guiding, right? Go down there, Elijah. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you down there. Now when you go down there, I'm leading even further. Have her provide for you and tell her this. So she's getting the leading of God.
Yeah.
Right? He says, I want to direct your paths. What did he say? I'll teach you or lead you to profit. He says, I pleasure when you're in prosperity. In 3 John 3, chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, I wish above all things that you'd prosper, have a full supply. Well, what did he tell this woman here? He says, go do that. Praise God. Well, we know what God is. He's only trying to lead her into increase. He says, the cruse of oil will not fail till the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. The barrel of meal shall not waste. Well, she went and did it, didn't she? And what happened? The cruse of oil didn't fail. And the barrel of meal didn't waste. And the Bible says that he and her son ate for many days. One meal turned into many meals, many days of meals. But how did that happen? God's leading. Because God doesn't lead backwards. God takes people like Job and people like this poor widow woman and takes them into increase. But remember, how is God doing that in the New Testament? They that follow my spirit, Brother Hagin was told. Amen. Right? I lead by the Holy Ghost.
Lord God.
Praise God.
Amen.
I could go so many stories. I'll have you do this on your own for time's sake. Luke chapter 5. Remember, Peter went fishing all night, didn't catch anything. Went home empty-handed. Job paid him nothing. And what did Jesus, the Lord, tell him to do? Told him exactly what to do. He said, go back out and fish. Let me use your boat first. Go back out and fish.
Yeah.
And what happened? Their boat was so full it began to sink.
Yeah.
Jesus did in 5 minutes what Peter couldn't do in an overnight shift.
That's right.
But who did that? God did.
That's right.
God did. Why? God took what was lack.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. Is this getting through to you tonight?
Oh,
I'm trying to tell you, if you're in a place of lack, God's trying to bring you out of it. Even if you say, I don't lack for anything, God's trying to bring you into more. Why? The kingdom needs it.
That's right.
The kingdom needs people to be blessed. Praise God, it does. You know, I love telling this story. It's such an indicator of how God leads to increase. There was a couple, or is a couple, in South Dayton. I was, this was a few years back. This was when we were still in the old sanctuary, which is now the fellowship hall. And I had a dream. Now, real quick, go to Acts chapter 2. I want to show you something just to qualify this here so you don't think I'm off my rocker, even more than you already do. But Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 16, Acts 2 and verse 16 says, But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be an old man to dream dreams. He's just saying that men will get visions, men will get dreams. Women will get visions, women will get dreams, and things like that. Well, I had a dream, and in the dream, now you say, Pastor Mike, how do you know if it's God? I don't have time to teach you on when a dream is God, but I'll just say this. The number one factor, well, I should say two factors that you know it's of God. Number one, it won't violate the word of God. And number two, you'll know it's Him. You won't wonder. I've had some dreams that were resolved too much pizza, too much chocolate syrup, you know. But anyways, I had a dream. But in the dream, this is what I saw. I saw a couple in South Dayton in a green envelope, a building fund envelope, put an offering into the offering bucket. Now, in the dream, by word of knowledge, I didn't know this unless the Lord would reveal it to me in the dream. In the dream, I knew that that offering was a substantial amount. But the second thing I knew is that they were able to give that amount because of obedience that led them. The Bible says, the willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. It pays to obey God. Why? The blessing of the Lord leads to increase. So I knew two things, that the offering that they were giving was big, and that they were able to do that because they had obeyed God. Well, it was either the next Wednesday service or a service after that, wasn't too long after that, the word of the Lord came unto me to minister to them in the service. Now the Lord told me exactly what to say. It wasn't anything about the dream. It wasn't telling them anything about their money. Listen, if someone starts talking to you personally about what you should give, apart from the tithes and offerings, in the sense of like someone starts saying to you, hey, you know, the Lord's telling me you need to give this amount and that amount. Oh, stay away from that stuff. That is not God. And so I wasn't led to say anything other than this. I called them up, and this is what came out of my mouth. I said, the Lord's been dealing with me about you in a supernatural way, which was through the dreams. I said, and this is all I'll say about that. Oh, the increase. Oh, the blessings you'll walk into if you'll obey what He says. That's all I said. I didn't say they'd give an offering. Didn't tell them, hey, you need to give a big offering. I saw this in a dream, you know. That's manipulation. All I said was, the Lord's been dealing with me about you in a supernatural way, which He was through dreams. And if you'll obey what He said, oh, the blessings, you know, something along those lines. And I just left it at that. Well, let me remind you of something here, first of all. This is back when South Dayton had about 30 people in it. Little country church, you know, in a little it's hard to believe the fellowship hall now where we eat used to be the sanctuary. That used to be the sanctuary. And so months go by. I don't even remember how many months. I could go back and look at the dates because I remember the Wednesday service and I remember the day that this happened because I was going to a Pitt Panther basketball game with Pastor Tim Stallman. And I got to tell him about this story on the way. Well, we're in a church of 30 people. Well, I don't look at the offerings. I don't look what people give. That's between you and God. But I do have to know the amounts because I got to pay the bills and know what's in the account, what we're going to do with certain things in the church. So I was walking through after fellowship one day and people are hanging out and everybody left. And I'm walking by the small office there that used to be my office and where the safe is. And Jeff's there. And I say, Jeff, I said, how much was the offering today? I was just curious, you know. He said, I don't know, Pastor, let me get it. He finds it and looks at it. He says, it's $101,000. I says, stop. $101,000? You know, it's a few grand every week. He says, no, and he showed me the amount. Well, I thought he's kind of a jokester, you know. And I thought he was joking, $101,000. I said, you know, showed me it, you know. And the word of knowledge hit me. What's a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge is when something's revealed to you from God that you didn't know about that was past or present. And instantly, I knew, I wasn't thinking about this, is months later. Instantly, this came up in my heart. The dream came to pass today. Amen. The dream came to pass today. And I told Jeff, I said, I'll tell you who gave it. I said, you look through the offering envelopes, this is who gave it. And he looked through, he said, how'd you know, Pastor? Now, they didn't give the whole $101,000. There's other people that gave, but the vast majority of that $101,000 came from this couple. He said, how'd you know? I said, let me tell you how I knew. I said, months ago, I had a dream. I saw them give this offering. And I said, and now the Holy Ghost just told me beforehand Who gave it?
Amen.
Well, I drove right to their house because I knew who it was already. I didn't even need them to tell me. I already knew. I drove to their house. I said, because I wanted to fill in the blanks here. Gave them a big hug. I said, you don't understand what that's going to do for the house of God. Praise the Lord. I said, tell me the story. Well, they said that when I called them up, they didn't know I had had a dream about them, about finances. And I told them, oh, the blessings you'll walk into if you'll obey God. Well, they had just recently lost a substantial amount of money investing, but not investing God's way, just going by what the books say, going by what the professionals say, going by what seems like should work. And they lost money. Well, that didn't make them happy, and they endeavored, they said, number one, we want to be a funder for the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to see your finances increase? Get a heart for the kingdom. Oh, I'm serious. Get a heart for the kingdom and sow into the kingdom. You'll watch your finances increase. God needs funders. Well, they said, we want to be funders for God's plan in the last days. And they said, but second of all, we're not going to give based on our thoughts anymore or invest based on what we think. We're not going to invest based on what the market's saying or based on what the books are saying. We're going to go by what the Holy Ghost is saying. Didn't he say, I'll direct your paths in all your ways?
Right.
Well, they took him at his word. And they began to seek God. What do we do with our money? What do we do with our money? Well, here's where the part of my encouragement to them that if you'll obey, because one of the things I said was, if you'll obey his voice, oh, the increase you'll walk into. Because I knew the increase by the word of knowledge in the dream, that what they gave, wow. Let me tell you something. $101,000 offering might not be a big offering to a church of 2,000 or 3,000 people. I don't know if it is or isn't, but a church of 30 people, that's a miracle. In fact, it was so much a miracle, Pastor Michael went and told Pastor Nancy Dufresne about the story. This is what happened at Pastor Mike's church, you know. Praise God. It's awesome. Well, when I ministered to them about obeying God's voice, the Holy Ghost at the time, after they lost the money and getting ready to invest again, told them by learning to follow the Holy Spirit, told them and encouraged them of where to put their money. Well, the problem was it was a very volatile account or stock or how, forgive me, I don't know exactly the words for this, but I'm ignorant. Let's just say it that way. I'm ignorant. But it was what the professionals and the pros and the experts were saying, don't do that. You can't do that. His mind and the wife's mind, don't do that. The flesh, don't do that. You don't put your money there. But the Holy Ghost, see, knowing the inward witness is what we talked about last week. Learning to get past your flesh, learning to get past your mind, and learn it. And next week, if the Lord allows us, it seems like we're going that direction, we're going to talk about how you can position yourself to hear his voice.
Amen.
And remember, they endeavored. I want to be a funder, and I want to do it God's way. I want to do it God's way. I want to do it God's way. Well, the Holy Ghost said, put the money in this account. Their mind said no. Their flesh said no. The book said no. The professional said no. The accountant said no. The banker said no. But they went all in. And guess what? It hit. Praise God. That money went to the building of the church. And not only that, it paid off every single one of their debts. And they were huge blessings to all their kids. How did they increase? God did it. God did it. Now, think about this now. Do you think that God wants to do that for you? Or do you think that God just wants to play favorites? I'm not saying it'll come that direct way or that amount of money. I'm not saying that. But the general principle is God wants to increase you. And God's doing it by the Holy Ghost. And most Christians will live and die and never have ever heard the voice of God. And will just go by what the stock market says, by what their paycheck says, by what this and what that says. And here God wants to take you higher.
Amen?
Amen? Praise God. I could tell you more stories, and I probably will next week when we get into learning to hear the voice of God, if I get the green light to preach that sermon of how to position yourself to hear. Because I'll tell you what, learning to follow the Holy Ghost has been so precious in my life.
Amen.
There were things that I walked into that naturally looked impossible that I never would have been able to without God's leading. Had I not been a person that took this serious, said, okay, Lord, how are you doing it? Okay, I know how you're doing it now. I got to listen to you. And gone by, if you go by what you see, go by what you feel, go by what you think, you're going to miss out in life. Oh, how many people are missing out? How many people are going to have to get to heaven and God saying, I had this for you, I had that for you? Because people think it's just going to fall on their head because God had it for them. No, I'll lead you by the Spirit. If you're not listening to the Spirit, you don't get led by Him. How many people just live life their own way? How many people just live life doing what they want to do? They live life ministry doing what they want to do, raise their family what they want to do, with their money what they want to do. And God says, oh, but I have this better for you. Let me give you an example, and I'll close with this. Oh, you know, we took Caleb to Midway one time. You ever been to Midway Park? Who's been to Midway Park? Raise your hand. It's a fun little park for kids. And, oh, he was a little boy. He just loved it. You know, he couldn't think there's anything better in the world. Right? He just thought that is. Well, when we started talking to him about wanting to go to a place like Waldemere, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Waldemere blows Midway out of the water. Literally out of the water. Because it's a water park. Blows it right out of water. And we talked to him about Disney World. Well, he just hears Disney World, you know, and nope, I want to go to Midway. I'm like, you're ignorant. You don't know. And nope, I just rather stay at Midway Park. Just want to stay at Midway Park. Why? He has no idea what else is out there available to him. And that's the analogy of Christians. We just live our lives. We get our paycheck. We get excited when our paycheck comes. We get excited when one little thing happens to us where we can pay our bills. And God is saying, that's your Midway Park. Amen. I have a life for you that's a Disney World life. Amen. Where there's blessings and increase and prosperity and favor. But the reason that people don't get into that is because they don't do it His way. We're brainwashed in the church to think whatever will be, will be. No. The God is speaking through the Spirit of God, but people aren't listening. And they're just going with their flesh, going with their mind, going with the noise, going with the opinions, and they just get the blessing of that. Praise God. Well, were you blessed? Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing for us. Father, you are so good and merciful. Father, we thank you for everything you've blessed us with. Now, Lord, Father, we're just so thankful to be in church, to hear how to follow you. Lord, we know you only want to lead us into good things. And so, Father, I pray that people would take this seriously, that this would stir in them. Lord, that they would see in your word. You never leave people where they're at. You always want to bring them into more because you're the God of more. You're the God of more than enough. You're the El Shaddai, the more than enough God. And I pray people would get stirred to start doing it your way, to start following things your way, and to watch the blessings that will come into their lives. Praise God. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes. This is the most important part of the service. And if you're watching by live stream, you know, pay attention. If you're in here, listen up. Praise God. You know, to be led by the Spirit of God is a blessing. To have the all-knowing one guide and direct you into everything you do. It doesn't come automatically by just being a person. You have to be a certain kind of person. You have to be a Christian. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, which is our guide, which hears from heaven and speaks to us, he only directs and guides those that have been born again or been made a Christian. Well, it's easy to do that. It's not by church attendance. It's not by good works or bad works. It's not by anything other than receiving Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the only way. You got to receive Jesus. And so if you're here this evening and you've never received the Lord as your Savior and you've never asked Him into your heart, well, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Same for those by live stream. So how do I know I need this? Well, if you've never done it before and you've just thought church attendance or being a good person, no, you have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, just like Romans 10:9 tells us. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anyone in here tonight, you could say, Pastor Mike, I've never received Jesus. And I want to receive Jesus for the first time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what's that do? It gives you heaven. The Holy Ghost comes and lives on the inside of you. You become God's child. Praise God. Life gets good. If you want to receive Jesus, would you lift your hand high in the air if you've never received him? You want to receive him tonight? Anybody want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? You've never done that before. I see that hand in the back. Praise God. God will honor that. Now, you never have to do that again, buddy. Praise the Lord. Tonight, you pray this with all your heart and you mean it. Anybody else want to receive the Lord tonight before we close? Oh, we had one hand in the building. Maybe other people are shy. Maybe there's some people by live stream. For that person that raised their hand, anybody else that wanted to get involved in this, or if you're watching by live stream right now, we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray a prayer, inviting the Lord in, confessing our belief in him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want everybody to pray this, those that raised their hand, those that should have, those that are already saved. Let's mean this with our heart. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Now, before you're dismissed, we're going to do our offering. I know we normally do it. I'm going to go to a scripture here. Go to Mark chapter 6. You can go ahead and get your tithes and offerings ready. And again, I'm going to have Jake dismiss on the way out. There'll be, as you're walking out the sanctuary, on either side of the door, there'll be a chair with a big old bucket. You can put it in there. Mark chapter 6. And let's go to verse 31. I never want to take up offering, you know, without getting into the Word, so I'm not trying to preach a second sermon here. But, and we're going to dismiss row by row. Again, Pastor Mike, why are we doing these? So this is the way the Lord led me, you know. I got to be honest with you. I said this in the video today. Personally, for me, you know, I just feel like throwing it all to the wayside. You know, that's where I was from the beginning, but that is not what the Spirit of God led me to do. That is not the guy that I had. I had a major check in my heart. And so that's why we're doing this stuff. And so as soon as the Holy Ghost says we can lighten some things, we'll do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, Jesus said, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going. They had no leisure as much to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And he saw, people saw him depart, and many knew him and ran unto him out of all cities. And Jesus, verse 34, when he saw the people, he's moved with compassion because they were sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, Jesus, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. They said to him, we shall go buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them something to eat. He said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. He said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now the Bible says he commanded them to sit down in ranks and ended up feeding them, right? And the Bible says in verse 44 that there were 5,000 just men that ate. Didn't include the women and children. But my point is this to you. Your checkbook and your savings account and your paycheck might testify that you don't have very much. You ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. That you don't have enough. And what that tempts us to do is to what? Get discouraged.
Right. Amen. Yeah, come on.
To what? Lose hope. Faith is never discouraged.
That's right. Amen.
Faith never loses hope.
That's right.
Faith is never worried. That lack of money is tempting us to be worried. Faith is never worried.
Yeah.
Well, how, Pastor Mike, can I, in a situation where I can't pay my bills, where I don't have enough, how do you expect me not to worry? How do you expect me? I just don't have enough. See, you're looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's right.
When Jesus was told we have 5 loaves and 2 fish, it didn't trouble him. Why? He said, I might not naturally have enough that I can see, but the one thing that I see is the one thing that can trump with the natural.
Hallelujah.
What's he saying? I got God.
Amen. Glory to God.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you get worried about your checkbook, you're just telling God, that's where my faith is. When you get worried about your paycheck and your bills, you're telling him, that's where my faith is. Jesus wasn't moved by the lack of supply there. He didn't care. He said, okay, that's what we got. We'll work with that. Praise God. Don't let what you have pull you out of faith. Because remember what you have. You have God. In the name of Jesus, amen? So just begin to declare over your finances. Father, I thank you, increase is coming. I thank you, you're going to multiply this. You are the God of supernatural increase. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give tonight. Lord, I thank you all the needs of this church are met, all the needs of this ministry are met, and all the needs of the people are met, Father. And those that are not faithful to obey you, Father, I pray they would get faithful on the side of faithfulness and they would see the increase come. And so, Father, we give you the praise and the glory tonight for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jake, go ahead in the back. He's going to dismiss row by row. Again, if somebody would like prayer, you could just wait off to the side and we will minister to you. But you can go ahead. You are dismissed.